And it's Thursday, Topical Currents Edition. Joseph Cooper with you. Bonnie Berman returns Monday from a long weekend. Joining me now, of course, is chef, prolific author, syndicated columnist, my good friend Linda Gastenheimer, also famous for Dinner in Minutes. I've had a few of those.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Linda, this afternoon we enjoy the delights of Colombian coffees. The beans have been nurtured there for nearly three centuries, I see.
Wow.
And we have some coffee tasting to do. Linda, you've got a lot of complicated stuff going on.
A lot of stuff here. There's baskets,
bags, cups.
Okay, so this program's to all our coffee lovers. And how was your coffee this morning, Joe?
I'm sorry?
How was your coffee this morning?
I had about four cups, which is a lot for me.
Already?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't even started now. Okay.
I won't tell you what brand of beans, though.
Well, okay, fine. That's fine with me. But have you ever tried a coffee tasting?
No,
I haven't. Well, you're about to.
I bet Fred Tasker has, though, since he does so many wine tastings.
Of course.
Okay. Well, we're going to have a cupping session. C-U-P-P-I-N-G. Cupping session. Edgardo Texador is here. He's the corporate trainer for Juan Valdez Coffee. Let's welcome Edgardo.
Hello, everybody. Nice to be here.
Great to have you.
If our critically listening listeners hear a little whir in the background, that's Eduardo's coffee percolator or something like that.
Something's going on. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Okay. Yes, it's perking over here. Well, also, as you heard, is our favorite wine guy. He's with us, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. And you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column. It's in today's Miami Herald. And you can also read his wine column that is now in the Saturday food section of the Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, you're talking about how to drink coffee, so I'm going to talk about how to drink wine.
Okay. And we'd also love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any coffee questions? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. And since Bonnie's not here, we don't have any email today.
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do.
I'm capable of that.
Oh, cool, Joe.
That's radio@wlrn.org.
Okay. Send us your questions. Well, let's start with Edgardo. Before we get to the tasting, tell us a little bit about Juan Valdez. And the question is, who is Juan Valdez?
Who is Juan Valdez? Juan Valdez is an icon. He is a manifestation of those 500,000 coffee farmers from Colombia.
Wait, 500,000 farmers,
right.
Small farmers.
They own small plots of land, and they control their coffee through La Federación Nacional de Cafeteros, the Coffee Growers Federation of Colombia, that manages all of their land and all their coffee and exports it to this beautiful country, United States of America.
So they're the owners? All of these 500,000 people are the owners of Juan Valdez Coffee.
Are the sole shareholders of the company. That's right.
So that's why they want to make a good cup of coffee, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's amazing. Well, but there is a Juan Valdez. I mean, I've seen them in commercials.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah? Somebody posed. So here's my trivia question, Joe Cooper.
Uh-oh.
Okay. You've seen Juan Valdez, and he's on a mule. I call it donkey.
I saw Juan Valdez down on Calle Ocho a couple of days ago.
Okay. Yeah, but my question to you is, what's the mule's name?
Oh, you got me there.
Okay. Anybody out there want to send us an email and let us know the name, okay? And I'll give you the answer soon. Okay, so let's go to our tasting, because we have in front of us two white cups.
Yes.
And they've got covers on them. So tell us, Edgardo, what are we supposed to do with these two white cups?
So in a coffee cupping session, you have two regions of coffee. These are single origin coffees from Colombia. The first one is from Huila, from the southern part of Colombia. And
I have to uncover this first, I assume.
Yes, let's go ahead and cover them.
Oh, he didn't tell us to do that yet.
It's okay.
No.
Okay, it's okay. All right, we can do it now.
So the first one is Huila from the southern part of Colombia and Antioquia from the central part.
So they look the same.
They look the same. They're the same roast.
Let's explain what's in the cup. It's not coffee. It's their coffee beans, the coffee ground. It's ground coffee.
It's ground coffee.
And when we took the covers off, the whole studio exploded in this wonderful aroma of coffee. So let's look at the wheeler first.
Yes.
So what are we supposed to do?
So in this first exercise, this is a 3 sensorial exercises. The first one is for fragrance. So we're going to give it a good sniff, inhale with your nose. Yes, make sure the scent goes all the way to the back and out through the same nostrils.
This is like my meditation.
Exactly.
So what am I supposed to be looking for when I'm smelling this?
Well, it smells like coffee.
I was not too sure.
So what we do with this exercise is we divide in our minds the smell of coffee, and we try to look for, you know, the smell is one of the more important senses of the human experience of consciousness. So maybe when we smell coffee, we smell a little something like an almond flavor or wood, or something smells like a barrel.
This is just up Fred's field. Fred Tasker. We're looking for chocolate and notes of whatever.
Exactly.
This is notes of
wood. You need a lot of purple prose.
Purple prose, I like that. Well, this is brown prose, I guess.
So this is the first one we smelled.
The wheeler.
So let's smell.
Now I'll be able to tell the difference between number one and number two.
Oh, yes. There we go. Definitely. That's what it's all about. Now let's give
the second one a good sniff.
Yeah? Antioquia.
Antioquia.
Yes.
It's not as strong.
No,
yes,
I agree with you, Joe.
Should we kind of stir these things
around? Yeah, stir it around.
Well, that's why the spoon's here.
Perfect.
Well, no, the spoon's for later.
Oh.
Now, this is much milder smell.
Perfect.
So if you like a milder cup of coffee, you would take this kind.
So that translates into the cup.
What are the factors that affect the fragrance of a coffee? Now that so we have the terroir, like they say in when we cup wine.
The land,
exactly.
that decides how high up it is.
The altitude also affects the fragrance of the coffee. And this is the first exercise. So there's a difference between fragrance and aroma. Fragrance is the smell before contact with water. Let's say like a flower has fragrance, coffee grounds have fragrance, and aroma is with contact with water. Okay. And now we're pouring the water.
Well, we have somebody, a special little angel here, Dana Rosansky from Juan Valdez, has boiled up a kettle of water, and she's pouring the water into the cups.
In both cups,
Into both cups. And what's happened now we can use our spoon.
Boy, we're getting a bunch of emails here, too.
Yeah, will they have the name of the mule?
No one has.
Nobody has.
Oh, someone says, is it Conchita?
Yay.
Yes. All right. Who got that?
That was Gabal. I really can't tell the name.
Okay. Well, you won.
You won. Definitely.
Of course, it's public radio, so there's no prize.
The prize is to thank you. All right. So now Dana is very nice. Dana Rosansky is very nice. She's poured at this. So now in these cups that had the grounds, we have
liquid. Are we supposed to stir?
No, you have to stir a special way, I think.
Oh.
So now we're going to try the aroma of the coffee, fragrance without contact, and now aroma with contact with water. You're going to push the grounds from you, towards you, away from you, and you're going to get close to the cup, and you're going to perceive the aroma.
Now, when I'm pushing it away, a foam appears.
Yes.
So what is that?
This is how you know that there's an infusion going on. The hot water lifts the oils from the coffee, and this is the first infusion, and we can see how the fragrance and aroma, there's a difference because the water lifts all of those particles in the coffee that couldn't be perceived before.
Now, have you done number two yet? Or?
I haven't done. Well, I haven't smelled them, but I've been told that that foam or crema on the top is what you look for when you're making coffee, because that means it's really a good cup of coffee.
Most definitely.
Because that emulsion's happened. Okay, so are we supposed to taste it or smell it?
Go ahead and give it a good whiff, good whiff, so we can perceive the aroma.
Okay, so the first one I find a little bitter.
Okay, Huila from the south.
Yeah, and the second one is a little bit more.
Now that they're moist, they're more the same.
I agree.
In aroma.
In aroma, you feel that they're at the same level.
Mm-hmm. But the stronger one is, to me, a little bitter. Okay, so now we can taste, okay?
Okay, go ahead and make sure to, when we sip coffee, we make sure that we have a spray in the mouth. So introduce the spoon sideways at a side angle, and exactly, we're going to sip.
So I am gurgling the way I'm supposed to.
Yes, definitely. Make sure it sprays all around the palate. in the whole. It's a strong stuff.
And so, well, let's talk about this for a minute, because it's very interesting to see how things are to taste it. And there's no right or wrong. It's just what you like.
Yes.
So if somebody wanted to have a tasting, a cupping ceremony, mm-hmm. could they come to you? I mean, how would they do that?
Definitely. All of the stores in Miami will have a large cupping table, and we'll start some coffee cupping sessions in December. You can go with your family, with your friends, a great activity, something different to do in Miami. And all of the baristas are trained. You'll have a barista. You can come directly to me and ask for me at Garda Texador. And we'll give you a coffee cupping session of the different regions of origins, our origins lines of coffee from Colombia.
Well, there's just two stores at the moment. I understand you're going to be opening up more, and there's some at the airport.
Yes.
But so where are the two at the moment in Miami?
At the moment, the first store that opened is in 101 Northeast 2nd Avenue, and the most recent one is 364 Southeast 1st Street in the Ross Building.
An emailer wants to know if coffee is an antioxidant.
Antioxidant, yes, coffee is an antioxidant. It wakes you up, it opens your veins. If, for instance, if you're feeling like you have a heavy feeling in your chest and you need to open up your lungs, it's a black coffee without milk, a little bit of sugar is the best thing to open up your lungs.
Right. All right, well, yeah, on that note, we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
Okay, I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about the perfect cup of coffee with Edgardo Texador from Juan Valdez Coffees. He's the corporate trainer for them. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking about the perfect cup of coffee, and we've been having a coffee tasting to learn more about it with Juan Valdez corporate trainer, Edgardo Texador. We've been telling that people can come in and have a cupping session, or they can just learn how to taste coffee.
Definitely.
Okay, there are many, here's an announcement though. There are many food festivals this season. There's so many food festivals going on in Miami. Here's one on Miami Beach this Saturday. It's the Hess Select South Beach Seafood Festival. Lots of fish going to be going out there, and shellfish. It's from 1 to 9 p.m. at 7th and Ocean Drive. And if you want more information about that, go to SoBe Seafood Festival or Seafood Fest. com. Okay, so it's time for Dinner in Minutes. And for today's Dinner in Minutes, it's going to be an autumn meatloaf. So just up your alley, Joe Cooper, it's meatloaf and mashed potatoes. However,
any gravy?
And no gravy.
Oh.
Well, yeah, there is gravy, actually, but Fred, I'm not sure how Joe's going to handle this. Because it's brown sugar and Dijon mustard glaze.
Gives, I love that.
Delicious. Oh, that's okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Gives the meatloaf a sweet and tangy flavor. I use ground veal, and that makes a lighter meatloaf.
Very good.
But if some people would like, they could use turkey or ground chicken. And then I cook some onions and mushrooms, and you can do that for just a few minutes in the microwave. I mix it into the ground meat, and then I mix together some brown sugar and some Dijon mustard, and I add half that mixture to the loaf. So here's my secret on how to make a 15-minute meatloaf. That's, you set your oven to 400 degrees. Make sure it's 400 before you put it in. And you arrange the meatloafs, shape them on the tray so that the heat has a chance to circulate all around those loaves, and they'll cook faster. And then when just before it's ready, you pour the rest of that glaze over it. And it's really nice, tangy glaze. The mashed potatoes, Joe, they're sweet potatoes. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, Joe's really come a long way now, Fred. I cook the sweet potatoes in the microwave about 5 minutes, and then I mash them, and I put some chopped green bell pepper in, a little olive oil, salt and pepper. Very easy. That complete recipe and a photo. It's at dinnerinminutes.com. Now, if you'd like a caramelized snapper with sweet pumpkin puree, that's another quick autumn recipe. And Edgardo's sitting there, he's drooling.
I love both of them.
Good. That sounds wonderful. Well, that's in today's Miami Herald. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, you going to give us a tasting?
Absolutely. You're talking about how to taste coffee, so I'll talk about how to taste wine. Actually, there are two kinds of wine tasting. What I call a regular tasting at a dinner or a casual wine tasting in somebody's home. And then there's what you could call a gonzo wine tasting.
Gonzo, like large?
Yeah. G-O-N-Z-O. That's if you really want to plumb the depths of a wine, maybe because you're writing about it, or maybe just because you're obsessed. Anyway, first I take a tall stemmed wine glass and fill it no more than one-third full so I can swirl it. The purpose of swirling is to coat the inside of the glass with wine to bring out more of its aroma. Then you can't be shy. You got to stick your nose right down in there and take a long, slow sniff. I always close my eyes when I do this. It's sort of a form of ecstasy, I think.
Well, Joe just had that with his coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of this would apply to coffee as well, actually.
Yeah.
Wines have two types of smells. First is aroma, which is the smell of the grape. Second is bouquet, which is the smells imparted by the winemaking techniques, such as aging in oak barrels, which can give it kind of a vanilla flavor. Or there's a secondary fermentation that softens its acids, and that gives it a buttery aroma, especially in white wines. It can be very pleasant, or if you do too much, you can get a little overpowering. Next, I take a sip and roll it around in my mouth. I look for flavors. To me, many wines have fruit flavors, black cherries, red raspberries, strawberries, backed up by darker flavors such as bittersweet chocolate or coffee.
Boy, this is much more complicated than our coffee tasting.
Well, wine is complicated stuff. I also try to judge the weight of the wine and its power. If it has a very full body and powerful tannins, it's a wine for heavier foods like beef and wild game, where lighter wines would go with lighter foods, whether they're red wines or white wines. Then I swallow or spit, depending on the circumstances, and breathe out through my nose and mouth, noting the finish of the wine. Now, the finish is the flavor that remains in your mouth after the wine is gone, and a good wine, the flavor can linger for up to a minute. Now, I know spitting is gross, and I only do it in technical tastings or competitions in which I might be tasting 100 wines in a day. With gonzo tasting, you can slosh the wine around noisily in your mouth. You can gargle it.
Where do you have these gonzo tastings? I want to know.
Oh, in friends' homes, undercover so people don't see us.
Okay.
You can do that if you think it helps you identifying the flavors. I personally don't think it's particularly necessary. And I know that if you do it in public, it makes people look at you funny. And then they start calling you a wine snob. And I hate it when that happens.
Okay, so Edgardo, you were telling me that it's very similar when you're tasting coffee.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the coffee experience is, well, the first two sensorial exercises are with smell. So then the last would be tasting.
So it's fresh.
Do you ever spit in a coffee tasting?
Actually, in the technical ones and in competitions, you spit. But for our cupping sessions at Juan Valdez Cafe, then no, we don't spit.
That don't spit at Juan Valdez.
That's good to know.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you a couple of questions. We just have a couple of minutes left about, you know, things, do's and don'ts for coffee. How do you store your coffee? A lot of people store coffee in a freezer. Is that okay?
That's not okay.
You had such a sad face when I said that.
What about refrigerator?
No, if you should buy the coffee to consume immediately. If you don't, just, you know, leave it to the pros. And
an emailer wants to know what's the best method to brew.
Well, that's
French press.
Well, everybody has their own style. In Juan Valdez Cafe, we offer all methods of coffee. You can come and have a siphon or a dripper, espresso-based drinks or filtered coffee, and that's the best thing about.
They
our
actually
brand,
have
you know.
There. It's very interesting. They have a whole museum
like a lab,
of
yeah.
different kinds of coffee things. You were mentioning to me that it's kind of an old-fashioned way of you boil the water in a carafe and yeah. then it. It bubbles up into yeah. the next carafe above it,
yes.
and then slowly drips through.
Yes,
and so that's you're sort of getting distilled water dripping very slowly through the coffee.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And people pass by, they say it looks like a scientific lab, and
right.
that's something we want to offer the public here in our.
But now, what if you're in a hurry? I, you know, not everybody can do that every morning.
Oh, if you're in a hurry, the line goes down fast. Our baristas are skilled; they'll make your espressos and your drinks super fast.
But what if you're at home?
if you're at home, you can buy a coffee bag online and do it super fast in your house.
you said that there's some freeze-dried coffee you mentioned?
Juan Valdez has a line of freeze-dried coffee called Buen Dia, and we sell...
Good Day.
Yeah, Good Day. And it's infused with chocolate. It's delicious.
Okay. There's so many more questions we have, but we're out of time. It's been a very interesting, very tasting week with Edgardo Texidor. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys.
Well, he's the corporate trainer for Juan Valdez.
Thanks for the coffee.
And the coffee is wonderful. They have new stores in central London and at the Miami airport. One's at 101 Northeast 2nd Avenue, and the other one's at 364 Southeast 1st Street. So right near off Biscayne Boulevard there. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Excuse me, Joe Cooper. Fun
nice
tasting
day.
With you.
Nice program.
Yeah, we agreed on something, actually. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me for